Welcome to Coffee with the Sarlows. We are your hosts of the show, Karen and Kelly Sarlo. Whether you're struggling with grief or you just need answers, we connect you with spirit to find relief, clarity, and direction in life. We can help you move forward.
Hi, Kelly.
Hello.
I picked a name from Netherlands today.
Okay.
The name is Dirk, and Dirk is my client. At the beginning of the session, he asks for his dad, who's passed away. And dad starts and says, I had a ton of anxiety. He says, I'd like to talk to my son about it. He's a grown man. He says, and I'd like to explain some things about my life and about my anxiety. So I mentioned this to Dirk, and I says, hey, your dad's just showing up. He's got some validations, and one of his first messages is about an anxiety issue. And Dirk looks at me and he goes, no. I'm going to go with just no and stop you. And I said, oh, what do you mean? And I said, could you explain that? He goes, that's not my dad. He said, my dad caused anxiety. He caused it. He says,
Buckle up, everyone.
He said, I cannot relate to what you're saying that my dad had anxiety. He says, I think this is either backwards and you've just got it wrong. I'm willing to kind of work with it, Karen. He says, but no, I'm not listening to that.
Well, hang on. All of that was contradictory. That's what he said?
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm going to stop you. Mm-hmm. I'm willing to work with that, mm-hmm. but I'm shutting it down.
Mm-hmm.
So which is it?
Well, eventually, I just went back to dad and said, could you explain a little bit more so they can reword it in a different way? Because as you know, when you're a medium, you often have to ask the dead person to reword something when the client is just in a state of confusion, contradicts themselves, flat out says no, but you've heard a very clear message because life. There's lots of reasons why people can't relate to something. So I just said to his dad, how do you want to respond to this? Because that's my job. How do you want to respond? Not how do I want to respond to it?
Mm-hmm.
So dad says, oh, that's understandable that he's saying that because I did cause everybody's anxiety. I will go in further and explain my behavior. And he says, and then he's going to start to understand it. Said, okay, so you know you don't always get all the pieces all at once. Mm-hmm. I prefer when you do, but sometimes it doesn't come out that way. So I said, what happened to dad? And he said, well, he said it started with my own father. And he said, not his father. And he said, and I didn't know that until I crossed over, but I can say that. He says, so my dad, my uncles, me, my cousins, and all male. He says, these are all males. All bullied each other. And he said they did it in ways that were, it's just a joke, ways where they pranked each other. But the prank wasn't done like in a fun kind of gentle, just humorous kind of way. There was always highlighting that the other person had a fear, for example. Or that the person disliked something, or they were sensitive about something, or they were trying to keep something confidential, a secret. So let's just bring that out in front of the entire group, and let's make fun of them about that issue, to belittle them. Like there was a lot of activity that was done by all of the men. And I said to his dad, I said, did the men do it to the women and the children? And he said, absolutely. He said, but it was rampant and horrible towards the men, like all towards each other. But it was all under the guise that this is family. This is just what we do. Lighten up. Don't be so serious. This is how we connect to each other. They did it over the phone. They did it in person. They did it, you know, one-on-one. They did it in groups where it would be, you know, several of them or two or three of them towards one person. And it was always shaming. And he said, so I can really highlight that a lot of this was done with the intention to shame the person, to control them. To control what they think, to control how they behaved. And he said, we all did it to each other. And he said, we did it to the women and the children, but we didn't do it as often. And a lot of the women in the family called us out. And I said, well, what the heck did you do when the women called you out? And he said, we usually just walked away. He says, we just shut it down. And he says, but worse than that, and added to that, is that we would then go after one of the men in the family that woman really cared for. So if that was, say, my sister-in-law, and her favorite person in the family was her son or a favorite nephew, then we would go after that person as a punishment towards her. And I said, did the women figure that out? And he said, oh, yeah. He said, and we got called out for that shit too. And I said, oh, my God. I said, what did you do then? Oh, we just doubled down and we made it even worse. And I said, so there was no winning for healthiness in the family. I won't say women. I'm just going to say anybody that chose healthiness. And he said, oh, absolutely. Right to the day I died. He said, I was still doing it. He said, on the very day that I passed away, and I said, how did you pass away? He said, I had a heart attack. He says, I just hit the floor and died. And he said, but before that, he says, I was giving it to my son because my wife stood up for something about him. So I attacked him. And he said, I just literally hit the floor right in front of them. And I said, oh, okay. I said, does that say something to you about life? He goes, oh my God, yes. And he said, I want to start with this though. I want to explain how it started with my father. And he says, so tell him all of that first, and then I'll go back to starting with my father. So I say all of this to Dirk, and Dirk goes, oh, I get the anxiety in what you mean. And he said, so you're saying that my dad had anxiety doing it to other people, but it was also being done to him. He says, I could see that. He says, I could see it being done to my dad. And my dad would do it like 2 seconds later just to get right back at that person. And he'd go find somebody in the house and go right at them. And he says, and we all knew what was going on. He says, it was so frustrating because nobody could seem to get control over this group of men doing this. And I said, Dirk, he says that you caught on to it and that you tried to come out of it, like you stopped participating to some degree. He goes, oh, yeah. He says, and then I really became the target. He said, and I knew that I would be. He said, so I had to choose different things in life. And he said, I want to hear him talk about that. And I could feel Dirk's, I'm here to talk to my dad because I'm in a rage. Like, I'm in a rage as to how he treated me. He's dead, and I'm hoping I'm going to get something. And in the process of you saying this to me, Karen, I'm just going to let my rage out. And I think that's fair. Mm-hmm. I think that is absolutely fair, and I think it's healthy. And as long as it's not towards me personally, I'm there for it. Mm-hmm. I'm so engaged in that. I love it. And I mean, I've been in that situation, so I absolutely understand how healthy it is to feel that kind of anger and to have somebody let you feel that without trying to shame you, which is exactly what his entire family had been using all of their lives, was shame to control other people. And so I said to Dirk, you are so welcome to feel your anger and to express it towards dad, towards grandpa, towards the men in the family. I said, in all the healthy ways, Dirk, you can say everything that you want. Your dad's here to listen to it. So is your grandfather. And he confirmed grandfather was passed over too. I said, and you've even got a couple of uncles here that have crossed over that are willing to stand here and hear what you need to say. And he went, they're on my list. He goes, I really didn't know how my time was going to go with you because I only have an hour. And he said, but the most important person was my father. And he says, but I was hoping to hear from the rest of the men. I just didn't realize you would do it like in a group because I didn't think I could ask for a group. I had to ask for one person at a time. And he said, but is this okay? And I said, yeah, because of the context, right? Like they're all coming in to address the same behavior. Mm-hmm. And I said, all of the men are here to apologize. They're all here to acknowledge what they did and that it was abuse towards each other that caused anxiety within all of them. And then as a result, also in every single person in the family. And I said, but your dad's trying to own that he had his own anxiety in it and that he lived it his entire life. He never knew what it was like not to have anxiety because every single day was an opportunity to behave this way.
And be targeted.
Exactly. And then be in the cycle of target someone else, be the recipient, target, be the recipient. Like there was this constant
fear
cycle and fear, all of these feelings. And I said to the dad, you're saying that your wife saw this. So did she point any of that out about it being a cycle? And he said, yes, that she had tried and that she gave up. That she gave up talking to dad. She gave up talking to her father-in-law. She gave up talking to her brothers-in-law. She gave up quite a bit of the family events over the years. She decided not to continue participating.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, when you say gave up talking, do you mean like went no contact or do you just mean like, okay, I'm not going to bother confronting this anymore?
I'm not going to bother confronting. I'm going to go do my own thing. But I'm also sometimes just not going to go and not going to attend.
But stayed in the relationship. But
stayed in relationship and stayed in family. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Dirk's dad talks to him about it and talks about his own level of anxiety, his own defense mechanisms, verbal abuse, people pleasing some people, but then abusing others. Like he goes through and he lists the different issues, feelings, which was a really big deal for Dirk because it was the first time that he was hearing that his dad talked that kind of language to say, these are the forms of verbal abuse I used. And Dirk said to me, where do I learn about that? Mm-hmm. And I said to him, The Verbally Abusive Relationship by Patricia Evans. I think it was Joseph Burgo's book, Why Do I Do That? On the defense mechanisms. And there was also Nathaniel Brandon's book, The Six Pillars of Self-Esteem, to help him build his own self-esteem now. Where his dad acknowledges all of these men in the family under the guise of being the group of guy, a group of men, the this is fun and joking, we're hanging out, we're watching the games, we're doing the hunting, which came out. Some of the things where they bonded or thought they were bonding, unhealthy, toxic bonding, were, around, I think he said, around hunting TV, like watching sports on TV. There wasn't much about actually playing sports together. And it was like meals, like family events, food, where they get together like on a weekend or something like that, Friday night. Oh, and the other one I forgot was the big one, Kelly, was like board games where there was abuse playing games together. Darts, that was another one, stuff like that. And as I mentioned those things, Dirk looks at me and he says, yep, those are the things my family did. Those are the things the guys did. And he says, did he talk at all about the guys versus the girls in my family? And I said, no. So I asked his dad, I said, was there something to address here? And he goes, oh, yeah. He said, there was a ton of misogyny. He said, we made sure that if we were all playing darts, for instance, we saw darts as a man's activity. That stunned me.
Really?
Yeah, because Kelly.
Come on. I want to give you more credit than that.
Well, I don't know much about darts or who plays them.
Who gives a fuck?
Oh.
My point being, if you have a dude, any dude.
Oh, right. Who okay.
So deeply abuses any other human being, right? There's going to be misogyny.
Mm.
Because what you're talking about is a deep lack of self-respect. You can't be someone who has self-esteem and self-respect and go out and treat another human this way.
Right.
Right? So it wouldn't be shocking or much of a stretch by any means to say that there's going to be misogyny in the way they treat another person and then gendering games.
Fair.
Like you're using all the possibilities for abuse.
Yeah.
Like that would be just like, that makes sense. Not that it's good or healthy, but just like, yeah, right. That would be the next step.
You're right. I guess I just went in my own head to just thinking about darts, just thinking about it's a sport or a game that I don't know anything about.
But it's.
But I get your point.
Anything in life in a moment where they can feel better than, like there could be a game in the corner that none of them have ever played, and they're going to gender it.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. Like.
Yeah.
Fuck, if they really decided to, they could gender cleaning and be like, well, you know, we let the women do it, but the men do it better.
Right.
There's no common sense to any of this bullshit. Right. If there was, you know, anyway.
No, it's good. It's good. I don't know where my head went when I just thought of darts and anyway, it doesn't matter. You've made a great point about it and it's good because I get to see my own thinking in real time and go, of course, because I know that about everything else.
Yeah. Like,
so it is. It's just always like stripping off something again, right?
It's just another temper tantrum. And I get this surprise. I do. Yeah. But like, I think about, you know, those funny posts that parents will put out being like, well, my toddler had a temper tantrum because I didn't let them put their finger in the outlet. Right. And you're like, oh, initially you're shocked because you're, well, no pun intended, but initially you're just like, oh my God, my child's upset about this. And then you're like, oh yeah, they have no logic.
Right.
This is what the men are doing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, right. Because there is
another tantrum. I want to feel in control over here in this corner. I want to feel over control, like in control over here in this corner.
This is interesting that you're saying this just because there was a conversation later about cooking and the fact that the men did none of the cooking. None of the barbecuing. They didn't even do the barbecuing kind of a thing. Yes, I know. I know about the misogyny and I know about the barbecue. Okay. I know about it. I'm just saying that there was a conversation with Dirk after when we were talking about this becoming a podcast and we were having a conversation. So this conversation about cooking, according to Dirk, is that the women did the cooking. None of the men did. And yet his dad would go into the kitchen to critique the cooking.
Right.
To be able to say, this isn't done right. Don't you think you should do this? Don't you think you should do that? Just to have control. And somebody questions him and says, one of the girls, one of the, like, I'll say nieces or somebody in there, daughter, I don't know who it was. He just said one of the girls, turned around and said, do you know how to cook it? Do you know how to make it? Do you want to do it? Do you? And the result would be an attack on that person, or just a turning around and a walking out, or withholding a compliment of how nice it was when they actually eat it. But there was always some form of a punishment, and everybody knew that it was going to be forthcoming because you pissed them off. Mm-hmm. So somehow it's going to fly. And then it got to the point, Dirk said, where when he finally did mete out the punishment to the person, the other women at the table would look at each other like, there it is. See, there it is. So Dirk says that as a result of this type of behavior, he eventually starts distancing himself from his own dad, his grandpa, his uncles, and his male cousins. And he starts actually having healthier and better relationships with his mom, his aunts, his female cousins. And they ask him questions about what it's like what's going on behind the scenes. And he's telling them how the men treat each other out for the sporting events, the hunting, in the rec room while they're all upstairs and the guys are all in the basement, how they're actually treating each other, how they're actually speaking to each other with disrespect. And the women realize how happy they are to be separate from it. And Dirk realizes, I don't want to go down into the basement again. I don't want to be part of it. And it's just around that time that Dad has the heart attack and passes away. And Dirk's coming to this conversation wanting to know if Dad had caught on and what he now thought on the other side. And so his dad says, I see my behavior. I started by saying that it goes back to my own childhood. It goes back to the way that I was raised with my own dad, but not further back than that. This is not, I guess you could say that's generational in two generations or three, right? Three. But not before that. And I don't know the significance of why he drew the line there, but he did. And then Dirk says, well, it's good to know then that it's going to end with me because I'm not willing to do that. So I now go to these family events and I conscientiously choose who I want to spend my time with. And if one of my male cousins or uncles comes up to me and starts speaking to me and they're speaking healthily, I engage. As soon as their behavior changes to any of the unhealthy behavior, he says, I don't even approach it anymore. I just turn around and I walk away because it is always met with another form of abuse. So the only option is the walking away. But I want to be around my mom and my aunts and my female cousins. And I want to be an example for any of my cousins. And now that we're older, my nephews. And he says, I want to be an example that we are not all like their dad. I want to be that man in the family that if they feel that they want to spend more time with the women, I'm there. Mm-hmm. And his dad says, I see what you're doing. And he says, I'm so sorry that my anxiety and my unwillingness to deal with my anxiety by getting help about what gave me the anxiety. I wasn't willing to go to a therapist. I wasn't willing to read a book. I wasn't willing to do anything. And then he lists, he goes, but I did listen to podcasts. I didn't listen to YouTube on my cell phone all the time. I did watch Instagram. I did do all of these things. I just avoided the information that came through that was helpful. So as soon as a little video popped up or whatever on my feed, scroll past that. Can't be watching those things. Got to go to the football game or whatever, right? Got to divert my attention to keep myself in this stream of thinking and behaviors. And he says, I see that my son needs to hear from me that I know better. He says he needs to know that his dad could have done better. And he says, I could have. And he says, but I want him to know that he wasn't worthy of it.
Pardon?
I want him to know he was worthy of me doing better.
There we go.
There it is. Thanks, Kelly. He was worthy of me finding the right Instagram channels, the right podcasts, healthy, the therapy, the healthy books. He was worthy of it. What I believed inside of me was that I wasn't worthy of it and that I was going to stay and literally die, and I did, in my behaviors. And he said, so I really want my son to understand he deserves better than what his grandfather, his father, his uncles, and his current male cousins give him in life, and that what he has learned is correct, and that that being with the women who choose to be healthier is the healthiest place for him to be. And I'm so grateful to all of those women that he's in it. And that they didn't say, ugh, you're a guy. Ugh, you're a man. Ugh, you're ick. I am so grateful to all of the women that said, oh, if you want to be healthy, absolutely come over here. And you're all welcome when you choose it. He said, please tell him to pass along to all of them that I know better and that I'm grateful to them, that they have given you a place to be you. He says, I've learned now that the men didn't allow me to be me. We didn't allow each other to be our authentic selves. None of us did. There was always the false bravado, the false laughter, the false giggle, the false, like everything was false. It was all fake. And when I say this to Dirk, he just goes, did he just say that all of their behavior is fake? They're all faking it? And Dad says to him, yes, it is all fake. It is all painful and they're all in pain down in the basement. Out hunting and doing all of these things. There's a pain in it. And so he says to Dirk, I am proud of you for choosing to come outside of the pain and to not allow the bullying and the group mentality to dominate you. You are coming out of survival mode and you're learning to thrive. And that's what the women were doing. The women were thriving in that family. Well, I'll say to
hard
a big
disagreement, but yeah, I understand what you're trying to illustrate.
Yes, please. And I do agree that everything that you're saying, I have to be careful that I say it the way that he did so that it still could invoke a discussion with Dirk that the women aren't totally healthy. They're healthier. And they're just trying to get to someplace healthier than the men are. But they're not doing a bang up job of it either because they're still in it. I'm just saying that there's levels and that Dirk's dad is trying to point that out to him and to say, keep doing it. And I'm sorry for where I was and stayed and never made any progress. Don't be like me. Yeah. And Dirk at the end of the session says to me, I do feel ragey. He says, I do feel really angry because I'm angry at my grandpa and I'm angry at all my uncles and all my cousins for stealing my dad from me. Go ahead.
Nope, that's okay.
Yeah. I said to him, your dad is saying that you need to be in a therapist's office to understand what your defense mechanisms are. I said, do you know what any of yours are? And Dirk says to me, no. And I said, well, that's what I'm saying. You need to understand what they are so that then you can decide or figure out this is the one that I'm using. This is why I use it. This is how I got it. This is how I stop it. This is how I redirect myself in healthy thinking. And I said, there's a process that you're missing. And he goes, okay, I see your point then. He goes, thank you for explaining it like that. When I've never even heard them before, I didn't even know that you were referring to the fact that I didn't even have a process. So the session ends where Dirk says to me, this was good. It's what I needed to hear from my dad. I needed to hear like where this came from, what he was thinking and doing, and what he has seen in me since he's passed. He says, and he's giving me some direction actually to go forward. He says, I needed that and I didn't even know I did. He says, so that sits with me. And he goes, and there's things in here that you've said that I would like to share with other people when it's appropriate to. He says, especially some of my cousins that are men. He says, I really would like that. He says, and my female cousins are looking forward to hearing what my dad has said about the whole group. To help them understand their own dads and their own grandfather, much like me.
Well, as genuinely exhausting as that was, I hope that a lot of people, again, can always see themselves or versions of their life within the stories to be able to ask themselves the right reflective questions to know what we need to work on, right? Because you're talking about him choosing, not just choosing to not do the work, but actively avoiding it. And the impact that it has for generations.
Yes.
Thank you for listening to Coffee with the Sarlows. If you enjoyed the show today, please be sure to subscribe on your podcast platform and leave a review. New shows will air every other Saturday.